real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. State police in Arkansas have arrested a 28-year-old suspect in the case of a mother and father murdered in front of their young daughters in Devil's Den State Park. Colonel Mike Hager.
We were able to take a monster off the streets and bring relief to Clinton and Kristen's precious girls.
They escaped unharmed. Colorado dentist James Craig sentenced to life in prison for poisoning his wife. CBS's Matt Piper.
Prosecutors say he laced Angela Craig's smoothies for more than a week in 2023, and when that failed, gave her a dose of cyanide, which made her brain dead. They also accused him of trying to cover it up by asking his daughter and fellow inmates to fake evidence and give false testimony.
The Federal Reserve's holding interest rates steady for the seventh month in a row, despite positive economic signs. Chair Jerome Powell.
We haven't made any decisions about September. We'll be monitoring all the incoming data and asking ourselves whether the federal funds rate is in the right place.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The State Fair opened gates today. The festival runs through August 10th at the fairgrounds in West Allis. You can get a rundown at wistatefair.com. There are still numbers coming out regarding the RNC's event in Milwaukee. The committee that hosted last summer's Republican National Convention has announced it's giving over $5 million to local nonprofits. The money left over from funds raised for the big event will help youth programs, veterans, and shelters around the city. More than 80 charities, including the Boys and Girls Club and the Milwaukee Rescue Mission, are seeing the benefit. Federal prosecutors are rejecting Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan's defense that she's immune from prosecution in her obstruction case. They argue the law doesn't support that reasoning. UrbanMilwaukee.com reports there was a filing in the case this week from prosecutors. A magistrate judge has recommended that the case move forward. Judge Lynn Edelman will make the final call on whether it goes to trial. There's no date yet on that decision. Wisconsin officially gets a new Supreme Court justice tomorrow. Savannah Tolmie Olson has more.
Susan Crawford will be sworn in as Justice Ann Walsh Bradley's term ends. Crawford won against Brad Schimmel in the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history. It was seen by many analysts as a referendum on the early actions of President Donald Trump's new administration and Elon Musk, who poured millions into the race for Schimmel. The court will still have a 4-3 liberal majority after she's sworn in. Former Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky is now the Chief Justice on the state's high court. Crawford's swearing in is tomorrow at 4:30. Next year, conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley is up for re-election. Democrat Chris Taylor has already announced she's running to unseat Bradley.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The Brewers lose to the Cubs.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers with a 10-3 loss to the Cubs. A rough day on the mound for Brewers pitchers. A bright spot was the Brewers' William Contreras. Hit his first home run in 6 weeks, and then hit another. Pat Murphy.
William can hit, and when you have high expectations, and you've been as good as he's been, and you're trying to build your career and all the things that come with it, sometimes you go through stretches of not hitting as many homers. Obviously a great sign when he hits one to left field and then one to right field.
NFL Packers back on the practice field for training camp. On Saturday, it'll be inside Lambeau Field for family night. Nearly sold out. What's that experience like for the rookies?
For the rookies, they get to experience that for the first time. You know, running out in the Lambeau, feeling the crowd and the environment for the first time, that, you know, you don't want to give them that warning. You want them to experience that. But it's special. You know, it's a fun night to be able to go out there, have a practice in the stadium. Pretty cool deal. You know, I don't know how many other teams do stuff like that, so it's fun.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 74 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 65. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
In a special edition, former White House ethics attorney Richard Painter joins us to break down how digital currency could undermine democracy. Don't miss this important conversation.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is a hazy Lake Wissota that we're gazing over. Smoky, I guess, is the right word for it. Nice to have you here up north from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're joining us by one of the many other platforms and ways to get this show, again, thank you for taking the time to look us up and get your day started right here. Parker Olson produces this little shindig out of Madison Studio A2, 200 miles away from here at the top of State Street, one block off the state capitol. Mr. Olson, how are you?
Doing well, Pat. It's been a weird morning. It's so dark here. I don't know why.
It's dark here, and it's a lot of it, I think, is the air quality. Plus, you know, the sun isn't coming up quite as early, but it is just...
Don't get to that part of it.
It's weird out there. I've got in our bedroom, I've got like this air purifier thing. It's mostly for white noise, to be honest. But it's an air purifier. That's fine. We didn't have the patio door open, you know, for more than a couple of minutes while running in and out and doing things. And by the time that happened, like less than 5 minutes, and the little indicator on it was already like this bright red, like the air in this room is not good.
I'm like, warning.
I am not surprised at all, because it's just, ugh. You know, thought about going for a boat ride last evening, and there was like nobody out on the lake, and I could see why. We were out for that short time. We're like, no, this just isn't enjoyable.
It's
just...
Well, when I was leaving yesterday, it was raining so hard. I couldn't see hardly at all across the lake. It was like a white wall. It was a sheet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no good. No bueno.
No bueno.
Again, there's nothing we can do. We don't have a big old fire extinguisher for Canada here. It's almost like the climate is the climate's changing or something. It's making things weird that we have to live with. Anyway.
You know, it's funny to say that. I was talking to Brittany about that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The jet streams. They're bringing some stuff over here. It's different than it used to.
Alicia puts on YouTube, it's so hazy here. The sun is orange this morning.
Yeah.
At least you're seeing a little sun. We're not even seeing that yet. The clouds are going to be moving away, and that's going to be nice. And Brittany Merlot will have our detailed forecast coming up in just a bit. I normally start off, I want to ask you a question. I like to get your day started with, you know, just thinking a little bit here. And some days I'm kind of like struggling, like, oh, what's my question going to be off the top? Turns out I actually have several here. I wanted Parker to help me out with some of
these. Time for the Mornings with Pat Kreitlow survey. Here we go.
Yes, exactly. So it was good. I'm up to four different options here. It was going to be, I got a question for you. Have you mailed in your second half property taxes yet? Because they are due today. And every homeowner out there who pays them in two installments is like, oh, shoot. Yeah. Okay. Get that in. Got to be postmarked by today or bring it in. I got a question for you. Is it all over for the Milwaukee Brewers? Should we just pack it up and go, season's done after getting shellacked by the Cubs yesterday? The answer, of course, it's a rhetorical question. No, but It seems like we always need one of those games at American Family Field where you hear all the Cubs fans, and it's just annoying.
It sucks. I saw Dan Schaefer on Twitter yesterday saying that he saw more accidents than ever before yesterday because of how many fibs were leaving and because of the rain, and they were happy because they won a game, so they had been drinking.
Yes. So there might have been some liquid happiness involved in there, too. Yeah, that's no fun. So, no, it's not all over, but we'll talk about the Brewers-Cubs game in just a bit. I got a question for you. You ever sometimes wonder, you take a moment and you change the focus of your eyes and you look at your glasses and you go, how am I seeing out of these things? Did a dog lick them and I just wasn't aware?
That's a good question.
There was actually, you know, Ben Parker and I both wear glasses, but there was like a dead spot on my screen as I'm looking at my notes, and I kind of lift my chin up a little bit. I'm like, oh no, that's my glasses. That's what that is. I should clean those things off. And then right at the last second, I stumbled upon this looking through the entertainment news today. I got a question for you. Oh, Leslie Nielsen in The Naked Gun. Is it going to work or not?
I don't know enough about pop culture.
I suppose you probably know, did watch little or none of Leslie Nielsen in The Naked Gun, which I think makes you the perfect test subject for this.
Oh, good.
Because you won't have any of Leslie Nielsen's classic, you know, comedy to fall back on or to refer to. So you have an assignment now, and I know you're busy. I know you got all those Mallards games and Nightmares games to work and everything else, but sometime in the very near future, you know, 1 or 2 weeks here, you got to go see The Naked Gun. I will go see The Naked Gun. I will obviously compare it to the 1988 original. And the thing to know about this that I know you and any younger listeners out there don't know is Leslie Nielsen, sure, we look at him now as this comedic actor. He was hilarious doing The Naked Gun and Police Squad and all of that. But what you may not know is he was quite the serious, dramatic, tough guy actor prior to that, which is what makes this so interesting for Liam Neeson doing the same thing. He's going from, you know, I have a unique set of skills, I'm going to kill you, to, you know, playing, you know, Lieutenant Frank Drebin. And now he's Frank Drebin Jr. in this one. Mm-hmm. So can he too make the move from drama to comedy? And we've seen other actors do it, you know, and I always love when they do it. Not everyone pulls it off, but when they do, it's very cool. So I have every reason to think Liam Neeson can pull this off.
As far as I know, Liam Neeson is a very, very good actor. I would think he's got that in his bag.
Yeah. So we've got that. So there's an assignment for the listeners as well. We don't often, you know, say as part of your homework, go see a movie. But here's the thing. It's smoky as all get out there. And if you can't do much outside, the theater is air conditioned. So let's go to the movies together.
Bring your air purifier.
Yeah. Luke on the text line. I really hope they don't try to remake Airplane. But if they do, Giannis better get cast in the movie in the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar role. That would be the best.
That would be awesome.
Luke saying, I really hope they don't try to make Airplane. You had me there, but as soon as you had the idea of putting Giannis in the cockpit, now I'm in. Now I got to see this. I've got to see this. Because, again, you saw, like, Peter Graves was in Airplane. He'd been in all the Mission Impossible series. Yeah. Nobody thought he could pull off comedy, you know, and he did. And, of course, that's where Leslie Nielsen had his first turn in comedy.
I love when athletes find their way into movies. Like, I think there's four or five Packers that are in one of the Pitch Perfect movies, and it's awesome.
Oh, those are good. It's when they tried to make it all about themselves, looking at you, Shaq Fu, you know, that it doesn't really work out.
Yeesh.
Tony on YouTube, I have complete confidence in Liam, so that's good. And Roger trying to pivot us back toward the real world here. 2 out of 3 against the Cubs wasn't bad. The Cubs leave in second place. And we're also less than 11 hours before the trade deadline, which is true. Now, the Brewers typically do not do much at the trade deadline. We don't go into the big drama, the big money stuff.
No,
I'm not saying it never happens, but it's not what the team is known for.
And I don't think they need to, especially right now. I kind of think we're at the stage that it would just throw a wrench into the clubhouse. Josh Hader.
Josh Hader. That's exactly. See, that's what made the point right there. Yeah. So let's not go crazy, kids. We've got a good thing. We've got a good core. If you can find something easy, because look at what we did without the trade deadline. Aaron Civale going, oh, I'm not going to the bullpen. You got to trade me.
Yeah.
Sure thing, buddy. Here's the White Sox. Bring up Andrew Vaughn, who, you know, with a decent team, shows what he can do. So
this is okay. This is, and I got a question for you, Pat.
Okay.
Does the trade deadline really mean that much in the sense that the Brewers have made the trade for Andrew Vaughn and, there was another trade at the very beginning of the year that we made to get somebody. Those weren't trade deadline trades,
right?
But they were trades that made a huge impact. When we get to the end of this week, we're going to talk about how, oh God, the Brewers did nothing at the end of the trade deadline. Jeez. Why didn't they make
like
any
trade
moves?
Day. It's not like this is the one day to make trades.
Yes.
You do it when the time is right, and that's what the Brewers have done. They're not going to wait till the end of July for this.
Grade the entirety of the trade book. Don't grade the week.
I'm not expecting any big moves here. And again, the Josh Hader thing really kind of seals the deal. let me tell you what else to expect on the show today. It didn't take long. Didn't take long at all for the 2026 race for governor to get its first smear campaign, as predictable as it is tiring. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez met her husband at a salsa dancing class. They've been married nearly 20 years. He's an IT network engineer and a naturalized citizen, and they're raising two teenagers. They've been married, like I said, for two decades. Naturally, the first whisper campaigns about his immigration status are underway, and Sarah Rodriguez had a perfect way to put it into perspective for the voters. Also coming up, for people who follow the news regularly, there is no surprise in what billboards are saying about the Trump mega bill. But there are still plenty of people in Wisconsin and elsewhere who are not aware that the massive cuts in vital programs aren't saving them a dime. It's all going to pay for tax cuts for billionaires and others in the highest tax brackets. So we will talk to the head of a national group putting up billboards featuring faces of America's most prominent rich guys, and sharing a simple message: we make, they take. We'll talk to Wall Street finance and compliance expert Sean O'Malley, who gives us his Wisconsin common sense take on all the latest economic news. The raw numbers suggest things aren't as bad as people feared they might be. But also, there's no clear path out of this current sluggishness. And it should go without saying, the current sluggishness wasn't inevitable. We were enjoying a resurging economy back when it was under adult supervision. Is this really the best that we can do for the next 3.5 years? We'll talk to Up North News social media manager Sharita Booker about some big events happening this weekend around the state. That would, of course, include the Wisconsin State Fair that opens today. We will check in with Civic Media's Todd Alba about his show this afternoon. Chad Holmes from our station in Wausau about stories that he's following there. And Joe Zepecki will have an update for us on how the 2026 races for governor and other Wisconsin offices are being impacted by Governor Evers' announcement last week, 1 week ago today, that he was going to be retiring. That's my way of saying it's actually been a slightly slower week than expected. I did expect kind of a stampede of candidates who were, you know, getting ready to announce and were going to announce. I still think there are going to be numerous candidates in the race, but I did think that there'd be, you know, maybe a couple of more out of the gate right away. So far, that has not proven to be the case. But again, it's July 31st of the year before. So the Cubs did trounce the Brewers yesterday 10-3. So the Cubs avoided a 3-game sweep, but Milwaukee still is on top of the division by one game. And the thing is, they've got one more series, and it was going to be rough enough when it was a 4-game series, but now it's going to be a 5-game series to make up for a rain delay or a rainout earlier this season. So it'll be a 5-game series from August 18th through the 21st. Freddy Peralta, who'd won his last 7 starts, allowed a season-high 5 runs in 4 innings yesterday, including a leadoff home run on the game's first pitch. William Contreras had his 5th career 2-homer game. The Brewers are off today, traveling to Washington, D.C. They'll play the Nationals this weekend. They'll be at Atlanta early next week. So there's your update on sports. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You need parts? O'Reilly has parts. Get one free set of brake pads when you buy two brake rotors. Upgrade to Brake Best Select pads for just $10. Or upgrade to Brake Best Select Pro or Import Direct pads for just $20. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The federal Eighth Circuit Court appears intent to block redistricting and voting rights cases by individuals and advocacy groups. July 29th, the Eighth Circuit issued another finding that individuals and groups can't sue using the Voting Rights Act. This is the third such negative ruling on the private right of action, but for the moment, it still only applies to the seven states in the Eighth Circuit: Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. In a 2023 Arkansas case, an Eighth Circuit panel ignored decades of settled law and found that the Arkansas Conference of the NAACP and the voters it represented did not have standing to bring a complaint under the VRA Section 2. Instead, it gave the U.S. Justice Department the sole authority to bring Voting Rights Act complaints. Legal scholars deemed it a fringe ruling because historically, 90% of voting rights cases are brought by individuals and advocacy groups. The July 29th decision involved a challenge by an Arkansas group which assists new citizens with voting. An Arkansas voter suppression law barred the group from helping more than six citizens, though the Voting Rights Act, Section 208, allows such assistance. If appealed, it's unclear whether the U.S. Supreme Court will stand on precedent or back the Eighth Circuit's crusade against voting rights. We've linked to the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So getting back to the Brewers for just a second, I mentioned they're off today, heading to Washington to take on the Nationals. So again, no game today, but tomorrow evening you can hear the Brewers with the pregame starting at 5:10 tomorrow evening on Civic Media stations in Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to the website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. And yes, tomorrow is another free ticket Friday. Now, I'm not giving you the keyword yet. But I am going to give you a heads up because it's always for a specific Brewer game, and I want to give you time to plan for it. Maybe you wouldn't think to enter this contest, but if I told you the game to plan for, maybe that would be it. So, Free Ticket Friday tomorrow is for the game the following Friday, 1 week from tomorrow at American Family Field against the New York Mets. Big game. So let me get the start time on that game. It's 7:10, so a Friday evening game next week. So if it's something that interests you, if you can get tickets delivered to your phone and use electronic tickets at the stadium, you're going to want to have that Civic Media app. And tomorrow we'll give you the keyword during our show. There'll be different keywords throughout the day on different shows. And you could be in the running for four great seats. And Parker can attest, as can I. Those are great club level seats. Great view of the game.
Yeah.
We got the photo from Jim in Brookfield the other day, enjoying the tickets that he won.
Yeah,
from Civic Media.
It's a fun place. You're right by foul ball territory. You got
a
chance.
Oh, without a doubt. Yes. Yeah. I am at some point going to get a foul ball.
I think so. I
truly believe that. Yes. So keep that in mind for Free Ticket Friday. Also, sign up for our newsletter. We have a question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics. And this week's question of the week doesn't sound like it should be about Wisconsin politics. It's about cryptocurrency. But, you know, if Congress is going to bend over backwards to be friendly to the crypto industry, maybe we have to depend on our state lawmakers to make sure that there are consumer protections in place. So overall, we just decided to say, where are you on crypto right now? I mean, is it inevitable? Is it the future of money? Do you really not know? And, you know, you just want to learn more? Or have you learned just enough to go, no, I don't like this. I'm too skeptical. So that's what the readers of our Sunday newsletter get to answer first on Sunday mornings. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com and learn more. We're going to talk more less than 2 hours from now in our 8 o'clock hour with Sean O'Malley. As I mentioned, he's a Wall Street. He's had a long career on Wall Street. He's a Hudson native, lives in Bayfield now, and is actually back working on Wall Street on a little project right now, I believe. And, you know, I've known him for 40 years now. Just a whip smart guy about the economy. And he was the one who told me many years ago when I was running for Congress in 2012, saying, I said, what is the single best thing we can do for the economy? And he said, infrastructure. We need if we could get a massive infrastructure investment bill, it would create over a decade's worth of jobs and improve the way we get products to market and move people around the country. And it's just a complete win-win. Well, nothing, of course, happened on it until the Biden administration. And now we have that infrastructure bill. Although, as I could have predicted, again, when you make an investment like that in new jobs, you always hear caterwauling from people going, oh, there's all that government spending again. Yeah, so that the roads don't fall apart and so that we create jobs. Regardless, I talked to Sean about the latest economic news. And it was interesting to see the uncertainty in the numbers. There was, myself included, a belief that the newest numbers on the economy, the GDP, the gross domestic product, would be down. And if they were down again, because they were down last quarter, that would mean that we were in a recession. But they were not. They were up. But the thing I noticed was the way everybody was kind of hedging on the numbers. And I asked Sean about this as well. And the fact of the matter is the uncertainty is just downright crazy right now because of, well, the tariff instability. We don't know. Is it one day there's a tariff on these countries and one day there's not? One day it's 25%, the next day it's 15%. One moment we hear we have a trade deal, the next thing we hear is that it's a handshake agreement on a cocktail napkin and it's far from done. And that is pretty much how it was written up in the New York Times, saying that economic growth softened in the first half of the year as tariffs and uncertainty upended business plans and scrambled consumer spending decisions. They talked about how the gross domestic product adjusted for inflation increased at a 3% annual rate in the second quarter. Normally, that would be a great number, especially when you consider that in the first quarter, the economy contracted. It shrank 0.5%. But as the Times says, both of these figures are skewed. They were skewed in opposite directions because of the big swings in trade and inventories caused by the president's ever-shifting tariff policies. And so they don't tell the whole story of economic growth that appears to be positive, but is downright anemic. And that's what Sean is going to talk to us about as well, is why it is the way that it is and where do we think it's going to go. And it caused me to bring up the larger question. Okay, so it didn't get as bad as many had feared, but it's still sluggish. Is this another case of Trump getting to declare victory because everybody thought he was going to crash the car and he just dented it instead? And Sean pointed out, as others do as well, none of this sluggishness is necessary. We were enjoying the best economic recovery on the planet coming out of the pandemic. We were doing everything right, firing on all cylinders, had just tamed inflation. We're just getting started investing in new jobs. And now Trump is pulling back on all of that. And while we didn't crash, we are now in this, I guess, to borrow an old Jimmy Carter term, this is now Trump's malaise. that we're in. And we're going to have to live with it for at least a little while longer. The Midwest Farm Report is coming up next. And then Sherita Booker talking about weekend events around Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A lot of trade talk in the headlines, including the U.S.-China trade negotiations in Stockholm. But what does it really mean for agriculture? I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Thursday morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Market advisor John Heinberg joins us. He's with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. John says the agreements and conversations so far between the U.S. and trade partners haven't had much teeth for agriculture.
You know, looking over some of those trade deals, they're nice. They're good for in terms of media and things of that nature, you know, getting some things off the table, maybe getting some set plans. There really hasn't been a lot of teeth that to some of these that really support agriculture in that regard. A lot of the agreements are at least setting some targets for potential imports of U.S. products. But a lot of those targets are within what the parameters are, what those countries have been taking in the past. I guess the encouraging side is those are guarantees or supposedly guarantees that they will take those bushels or those pounds of beef or pounds of pork or whatever product that it may be into their country.
The U.S.-China negotiations in Stockholm have concluded. John Heinberg says right now, China is getting by without U.S. products because of the strength of the crops and South America. That's one thing that's affected the market price, is that demand from China hasn't been at the levels we'd like to see. Will that change? Time and negotiations will tell. More farm news coming your way.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Zimbrick Chevrolet, Dane County's number one volume Chevy dealer with over 70 new Chevy trucks to choose from. Zimbrick Chevrolet East Madison, Sun Prairie, and ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Dairy pride is back in focus. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, one of the largest dairy co-ops in the country, is throwing its support behind this new federal legislation aimed at protecting the integrity of dairy labels. This week, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators introduced the Dairy Pride Act of 2025. The goal is simple: stop plant-based products from using dairy terms like milk, cheese, and yogurt. Edge president and dairy farmer Heidi Fisher urges lawmakers to act swiftly to keep misleading product names off of grocery store shelves. Learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 74 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 65. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story. Really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jim Santel, friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review will be here as we continue to break down the Epstein story and all things sports with Paul Noonan.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Maybe make a little road trip. Here are some destinations you could put into your little map app and go have some fun along the way. We're going to do that with Sherita Booker, social media manager for us at Up North News. Hey, Sherita, how you doing?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Good, good. We are going to save the big one for last. This, of course, is the opening of the Wisconsin State Fair, so stick around for that. But first, we're going to talk about the Mile of Music in Appleton. That's getting going today. Something I did not know about until we did a story about it at Up North News some years back. So why don't we start by having you tell us all about what Mile of Music is all about?
Yep, that kicks off today and it'll run through August 3rd. And it's a free four-day festival spanning a full walkable mile in the center of downtown Appleton with more than 700 live music sets performed by over 200 up-and-coming or emerging artists in 40 different venues. Those venues can include coffee shops, bars, parks, restaurants, museums, and other public spaces. So people, this is the perfect time to support local while enjoying the free entertainment. And last year they had around 100,000 attendees, so expect it to be busy for the 4 days. And one detail about this event that I thought was really cool is that it's all completely original music. No artist is allowed to do any covered songs. So it's like bringing the authenticity to the table. And if you want any information about this festival or tickets, well, not tickets, but just information because it's completely free, visit milesofmusic.com.
Mileofmusic.com. And there you will learn even more about this amazing event. I think it was Kevin Revolinsky first turned me on to this when he did a story for Up North News about it some years back, because it's not just about... These are all unsigned acts, okay? These are all bands and singers looking for a recording contract gig. They have been working their hearts out at all these places, playing all these gigs. They love coming to Appleton because not only do they have an appreciative crowd, but then there's this behind-the-scenes support that's done. Everything from, you know, massage therapists, financial planners. For some people, it might be the only vision or dental check that they get. Each year is a little bit different when members of the community step up, basically, and say they will support the musicians during the Mile of Music by doing these particular services for free. It is just super cool. It is such a great way to support the arts. And, I mean, there's no place like Appleton that does it quite like this. So again, mileofmusic.com is where you want to learn more and maybe get out there and see some great original music. While you're on that side of the state, you could also do Brat Days in Sheboygan. That's coming up on Saturday, Sherita.
Yep, and they'll have traditional brats, brats on a stick, brat burgers, brat jambalaya, a corn dog brat, and tons of other food options that don't include brats. There will also be a brat eating contest if you're into that. And the winner will get a championship trophy, a year's supply of Johnsonville brats, gift basket of Johnsonville merch, and $75 worth of brat day tickets. That festival will also have a cornhole tournament, live music, a marketplace, bounce houses for the kids, and carnival rides. Admission to the festival is free, and if you want more information, go to brat-days.com.
Brat-days.com, and I think you kind of lost me at brat eating contest, because of course I'm thinking about the hot dog eating contest, and who is Joey Chestnut and all these others who are just, I can't even imagine doing that with brats as well. So now, of course, I want to know what the record is and find out if it gets broken this weekend. So,
Sharita, file that away for Monday. We got to find out if either there's a new record set or if somebody had to go to the hospital as a result of all these brats.
Someone needs to be on standby and know how to do the Heimlich because it's dangerous.
And see if they get disqualified for what at the hot dog contest they call conduct detrimental to eating. And I think you know what we're talking about here. And of course, last but not least, is the 2025 edition of the Wisconsin State Fair, State Fair Park in West Allis. And this one, Sharita knows all about from firsthand experience.
Yeah, I go every year, multiple times a year with my family. We like to ride all the rides. And then I'll go another couple of days with my partner, and we just like to eat a lot of the food. But the So the State Fair, it'll start today and it'll run through August 10th. And some of the headliners this year include Boys to Men, Neo, Darius Rucker, and Midland with South Hall. And we all know fair food is a big deal, so let's dive into that. This year's cream puffs include chocolate and strawberry in addition to the original. Some of the new foods are Dubai funnel cake, alligator Cajun mac and cheese sundae, brisket cheese curd tacos, country fried burgers, Flamin' Hot Tots, Blueberry Breakfast Bratwurst, and Bourbon Belly Tots. And I'll let you in on a little secret. The State Fair's website has a food finder search engine that compiles all the food vendors and the drinks, so you don't have to wander around trying to find what you're looking for. Like, it's already mapped out for you, and you can use that on the go. I've used it myself.
I am already looking at this, and well, you're going to say something about the tickets, and then we'll go
ahead. Oh, yeah. The tickets are $20 for 12 and older, and $13 for kids ages 6 through 11.
Okay, so I'm looking at the food for under the Sporkies.
Yeah.
Some of the things included, there's s'mores churro fries. Okay, s'mores churro fries. There's the pretzeroni pizza brat. So it's a brat wrapped in a pretzel on a stick that you dip in marinara. There's Mexican street corn pizza. How good does that sound, you know?
I try that.
And then one of the drinkies, I know you mentioned the Dubai chocolate strawberry smoothie. Did you mention the dirty pancake?
No.
It's a dirty soda that tastes like a pancake in a cup. Oh, okay.
That's interesting. You
know, it's interesting. That's a very, very good way to put it. And so much more at the Wisconsin State Fair. And if you want more information there, WIStateFair.com is the way to go, and hopefully they have some really good weather, and hopefully Sharita gets a chance to go there multiple times and give us a full report next week on the food, the drinks, and the rides that I hope you don't do in that particular order, because you might lose the food or the drinks. So take it easy out there. Sharita, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Follow everything she does on Up North News' various social media websites. Have fun at the fair, Sharita. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Pat.
And in doing those top stories that she collects for us, she posts them and then tracks, you know, how they do. And as I'm looking at the top stories that she amassed from last week on Instagram, one of the most popular stories was one about a UW-Milwaukee research team that had been mapping out how racial housing policies had shaped Milwaukee over the years. What do you think the Trump administration did to that? Yeah, they pulled the plug on funding. So that's no longer being done. Another favorite over at Instagram is a list from the foodie website Love Food. Out of all the burritos in Wisconsin, their favorite fully loaded wet burrito, the kind with enchilada sauce, comes from Cafe Corazon and three locations around Milwaukee. And we ask you to put in the comment sections or send us a note here. Where's the best burrito in town where you are? People were traveling around, you know, best Mexican restaurant overall. Would love to hear about that. All right, we're in the 2026 gubernatorial campaign here in the state of Wisconsin. Like it or not, it's July 31st, 2025. We got a long ways to go. And yet, we are already seeing the first strains of something that was probably expected by a lot of us, depressingly so. And it we were tipped off to it by a post by the Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, who put up a post with a photo of a flyer of hers that had been defaced and a copy of a post that somebody is sending out to newsrooms saying, "Hi, I hope you're doing well. I'm a reporter with," and then it's blanked out here. We received a tip that Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez's husband is undocumented. I understand this is a personal matter, but as she is running for governor, my team wanted me to see if there was any truth to it, since it would be of public interest. Would you be able to provide any insight into his immigration status? And I add parenthetically, mwahaha, because that's how these idiots operate. Sarah Rodriguez put up a post with this, saying, yesterday, reporters got a tip, in quotes, that my husband is undocumented. Spoiler, he is a proud naturalized U.S. citizen. We are 5 days into this race, and my opponents are already resorting to racist, made-up attacks on my family. It's pathetic. It's ugly. And she notes here, most importantly, quote, it sure as hell won't lower a single grocery bill or fix a single school. If this is their best shot, they better pack a damn lunch, end quote, from Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Putting the proper perspective on this, that this race is about your grocery bill. This race is about your school. This race is about state investment in things like healthcare and high-speed internet service and so much more. It's about taking care of our natural resources or selling them out to corporate interests. It's continuing the Evers focus on small Main Street businesses, or it's going back to be Foxconn again if a Republican were to get into office. That's what this race is about. But in order to win, there are people that are going to stoop to any level whatsoever. And that includes attacking the naturalized citizen husband of Sarah Rodriguez, who, again, they've been married for coming up on 20 years here. They got two kids. I think they're both teenagers. There's wonderful video of her salsa dancing with her husband because that's how they met. And she said as much in her campaign introductory video. They met at a salsa dancing class while each was working or visiting Oklahoma at the time, and have hit it off well and have created a wonderful family. She was an emergency room nurse and is now running for governor of the state of Wisconsin. And I'm hoping that we don't have to spend a lot of time dealing with this kind of garbage. But unfortunately, given who is president of the United States right now, even naturalized citizens, and that's the part I underline the word citizen, naturalized citizen, they've gone through all of the proper processes to be as much a citizen as you or me. And yet even that status seems threatened to some folks to the point where they may not speak out as much as they want to for fear of a president and their allies who are saying, well, you know, we gave you that citizenship. We can revoke that citizenship, which, of course, they can't. That would be blatantly anti-constitutional. And you would need practically criminally fascist Supreme Court justices in order to have such. Well, anyway, the stakes are very big in this race. And the one thing we don't have time for is this kind of racism. It's better that we focus on the candidates themselves, their positions, and what they would do for the state of Wisconsin. And so to that end, tomorrow on this program, in the 8 o'clock hour, we will be interviewing Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez right here live, joining us to answer questions about the race, about the career that has led her to this point. And we're just, you know, very happy to get a chance to visit with her. We will do the same with all of the candidates that care to come in and visit and talk with us, whether live or pre-recorded. We want them all to feel like they can come and share their point of view with you, especially ahead of what could be a very busy primary election. Now, again, the primary election isn't for more than another month here. It's going to be on August 11th of next year. So there will be other candidates to come in, but let's get to meet them all, because with any luck, we will have a governor for the next 4 years or longer in the state of Wisconsin that continues to keep a focus on you, not their biggest donors, not the biggest companies, not the biggest promises, but the biggest potential for the state of Wisconsin. That's what we deserve as governor. We'll have today's history lesson coming up right after this. You're up north.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
540 WAUK presents This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast available anytime you want it.
Hey, it's Downtown Danny Brown, and this week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally, talking about the floods in Texas. Who's to blame, and what can we learn about it here in Wisconsin? We're also going to honor the baseball's rising stars, especially at the local level, and then, of course, the politics of softball. Join us. It's going to be a great show.
This Week in Waukesha, a podcast always available online at waukradio.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years, and we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday. On your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Matt and Air on Air.
Kareen Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Kareen, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, as Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
What a nice little way to start today's history lesson with little Zach Brown.
Fan.
Of the conveniently named Zach Brown Band.
Huh.
He's 47 years old today.
Gonna put the world away for a minute. Pretend I don't live in it. Sunshine gonna wash my blues away.
All right, let's look at who else is on today's history lesson birthday list. Sebastian Kresge. Only a few people now, my age and up, probably remember Kresge's, which was a discount department store chain. You know Sebastian Kresge's other discount store chain. Kmart.
Ah, yes, I do.
He started Kmart back in the day. He was born this day in 1867 and passed away 99 years later in 1966. So there's your trivia question. Kmart started by Sebastian Kresge. Happy birthday to Lobo. He is 82 years old today. Now, as somebody who grew up on the eastern edge of St. Paul, I can tell you it was kind of a charge to hear that on the radio as a kid, Me and You and a Dog Named Boo by Lobo, which I always thought was the band. And here I am, and you know, 6 decades later, realizing, no, Lobo was the name of the guy. His birth name was Roland Lavoie, and he was born in Tallahassee, Florida, 82 years ago today. Today is Lobo's 82nd birthday. Other birthdays today, Mark Cuban is 67 today. Wesley Snipes is 63. BJ Novak from The Office is 46 years old today. I mentioned at Summerfest seeing Gary Lewis of Gary Lewis and the Playboys. I could play the little snippet I took of him singing his big hit, but, you know, instead of hearing an 80-year-old man sing it, why don't we hear the original version from the early 1960s? Yeah, that definitely sounds better than what he pulled off at Summerfest. Bless him for still performing. Glad he's still with us. Happy 80th birthday, Gary Lewis. We just chose to play the original instead. By the way, if you don't know the family tie there, his birth name was Carrie Levitch. His dad's name was Joseph Levitch. But then at the age of two, his dad, Joseph Levitch, changed his name to Jerry Lewis, the legendary comedic actor. And he became Gary Lewis, born 80 years ago today. If you're familiar with JFK Airport in New York, you may or may not know it was once called Idlewild Field, and it was dedicated this day in 1948 as New York International Airport, renamed JFK a month after the president was assassinated back in 1963. The number one song this week in 1971 was by James Taylor. This, of course, was the Carole King written You've Got a Friend, and she's got her own wonderful version of it, but it was the number one song this day in 1971. On this day in 1980, the Eagles split up, and you can see why. There's video of it. A filmmaker was on stage as Glenn Frey and Don Felder started fighting in the middle of a song.
What?
Well, not verbally fighting. Like while the song is going on and they're going off stage going, I'm going to kick your butt. Well, I'm going to kick your butt. And that was it. That was it for the Eagles. Well, for 14 years. Until 1994, the Hell Freezes Over tour, because they always said for 14 years they would reunite when Hell Freezes Over. Well, guess what? Hell eventually sent enough money their way that they saw their way clear to doing that. The number one album on this week in 1976 was by George Benson. This is the title track to the album Breezin'. The group Orleans released Still One on that same day in 1976. Drake released a song this day 10 years ago. This song is now 10 years old from his album Views. On this day in 2012, Michael Phelps broke a 1964 record for the most medals total won at the Olympics, and he still holds that record today with 28 total Olympic medals.
Do you think that's ever going to get broken?
I have to say yes, because I've seen so many other records get broken. You know, I never thought Lou Gehrig's record was going to be broken. Yeah. Cal Ripken Jr. comes along. So, yeah, there probably will come a time, but that doesn't mean we can't enjoy what we have here. You know, I mean, goodness knows I'm really enjoying Shohei Ohtani. It doesn't take doesn't take anything away from Babe Ruth, but he's doing things Babe Ruth could never do. True. So I just enjoy with each development. Somebody comes along and you go, dang, you worked real hard. You deserve this. Today is Lifeguard Appreciation Day. And yes, we really do. Thank you for all that you do. And for all, thankfully, that you don't have to do if we're doing everything right. Today is Harry Potter's birthday, the fictitious book character. So for Harry Potter fans, they know that this is the day listed in the books as when he was born. This is National Avocado Day, which is something, again, for most of my life, I didn't think I'd ever like or eat. And then like 10 years ago, in my early 50s, I finally got around to trying guacamole. And I went, hey, this stuff's actually really good.
Yeah, I do find guacamole when you try fan. Things, it's better.
Yeah, ever since. This is National Chili Dog Day as well. I haven't had a chili dog in forever.
I don't think I have at all.
Well, it can really go either way. Yeah, you know, I've had a good chili dog, and I've had some where I'm like, wait a minute, what is this chili? Is this Alpo? What is going on here? And finally, this is the last day of July, July 31st, and so we bid a fond farewell to Lasagna Awareness Month. Starting tomorrow, you're not going to be aware of lasagna for a long time. It'll be a midwinter's night when you go, I want something warm and toasty. Let's make up a lasagna. Who makes Lasagna Awareness Night in the middle of summer or Lasagna Awareness Month? I don't know. I'm not aware of anybody who would. It's nice to have that bit going bye-bye finally back after the news. You're up north. You and me, we just don't get along.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. A suspect's been taken into custody at a barbershop in the deaths of a husband and wife at a state park in the South.
Arkansas State Police Special Agents have arrested James Andrew McGann, 28, of Springdale. He's been charged with two counts of capital murder.
Colonel Mike Hager, the couple's two young daughters, escaped. South Korea is the latest country to reach a tariff deal with the Trump administration a day before the president's new levies kick in.
Critics said that our tariffs would hurt the economy, but the data shows the exact opposite.
A second day of testimonies ahead in the crash of an Army helicopter and an American Airlines passenger plane in January that killed 67 people. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy testified on Capitol Hill yesterday.
It's always easy for people to focus on there was a pilot error here. We don't know. We're going to look, but it's possible there was zero.